First Peter is about hope, and we certainly need hope today because we live in a very hopeless world, right? And it can get very discouraging if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. But this epistle encourages us by showing us who we are in Christ, how to live a life that pleases the Lord, and it encourages us not to be discouraged by trials that come our way. It also helps us to focus on our heavenly inheritance, to focus on heaven and the hope that we have there. So the author of this book is, of course, Peter, and he was one of the 12 disciples. He was the first one who actually took the gospel to the Gentiles, but his main calling was to preach to the Jews. He grew up on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and his original name was Simon, which was his Jewish name. Now, Peter is known for his very much blunders and mistakes. But because of that, we can relate to Peter, right? Because I know I do a lot of blunders and a lot of mistakes. Peter spoke when he should have listened. He boasted when he should have feared. He slept when he should have prayed. And he fought when he should have submitted. But I thought it would be kind of fun today in our introduction to the book to just look a little bit more in depth into Peter, to the author of our book, and get to know him a little better. Because as you get to know Peter, you're going to be able to relate to the things that he's writing. You're going to think back when he talks about this or that. You're going to think about, oh yeah, that happened in Peter's life, and this is why he probably wrote that. So we're going to look at three different things. First, Peter's calling, his character, and then Peter's commission. Let's look at Peter's calling. Now, Peter was a fisherman by trade. And in Luke 4:38, we see that Peter had a wife and he lived in Capernaum, where he had a fishing business with his brother Andrew, and his partners were James and John, who all of those three, Andrew, James, and John, later became disciples of Jesus as well. Now, I want us to turn over to John, the book of John, and look at chapter 1, verse 40, real quick. And we're going to see how Peter met Jesus. So, John chapter 1, verse 40. It says, "And one of the two who heard John," that's referring to John the Baptist, "speak, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus." So Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. "And when Jesus beheld Peter, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,' which is by interpretation a stone." So we see that Andrew, Peter's brother, brought Peter to Jesus, telling him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ, the one that they had been looking for centuries. And Jesus gave Peter, or Simon here, a new name. He gave him the name Peter in Greek, and Cephas, Peter, his name in Peter is in Greek, and Cephas is in Aramaic, and they both mean rock. So Peter actually goes by Simon, Peter, and Cephas, or Simon Peter. He has several different names. But Peter's encounter with Jesus changed his life. And in 1 Peter 1:23, he talks about being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Now, Peter didn't consider himself superior to others believers, He knew that he was a sinner. Now, before Jesus actually called Peter to follow him and to be one of his disciples, Jesus was one day preaching on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and there were so many people gathered that Jesus said, "Peter, let me use your boat and let's launch out a little bit into the sea so that I can use it as a pulpit to talk to the people." So Jesus used Peter's boat. And then after Jesus got done preaching, he said, "Peter, throw your nets on the other side of the boat because you're going to reap a great net of fish." But Peter had said, "Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything." But of course, when he threw his net over there, the nets were so full that they began to break, and he had to call the other fishermen over to try to help him pull those nets in. But Peter realized just from that Jesus was Lord, that he was the Messiah. And he said, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." So Peter knew that he was a sinful man. And all of us have to come to that point before we meet Jesus to realize that we are sinners too. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, Jesus called Peter a rock, but it was with a small r. And then Peter wrote to all the believers in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If you want to switch back to Peter, 1 Peter, you can kind of glance at some of these verses that I'm mentioning, where Peter said, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." So Peter was a living stone, just like you and I are. And Jesus would take this man of clay and transform Peter into a rock. He would take this ordinary fisherman and make him a mighty servant of the Lord. So let's look briefly here at Peter's character. Now, Peter was very headstrong, always speaking his mind, and he was known for putting his foot in his mouth. Yet, he also was very bold and fearless and devoted. And that's probably one of the reasons Jesus chose Peter. He was also very passionate. And we see that at the Mount of Olives, where Jesus, before he was going to the cross, said, "All of you are going to be offended because of me tonight." But yet Peter confidently spoke up and said, "Though everyone else, Lord, is going to deny you, I never will." So he was passionate. He said, "Lord, I'm never going to deny you." And then when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, Peter refused to have Jesus wash his feet. He said, "You will never wash my feet, Lord." But Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me." And Peter responded, "Okay, then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So Peter sometimes spoke wisdom, and other times he spoke the opposite, just like you and me. We can say something great that blesses someone and encourages them. Then the next thing we can turn around and say something that's hurtful and mean to someone. So that Peter spoke wisdom when he said of the Lord, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He spoke up before all the disciples and declared this. But then when Jesus spoke after that about his coming death, Peter spoke the opposite when he said, "Lord, be that far from you. You can't go to the cross. You can't go and die." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," speaking to Peter. Peter was also weak. He denied the Lord three times. And I'm going to read from Matthew 26, if you want to turn there and read with me, you can, about Peter's denial. In Matthew 26:69, it says, "Now Peter sat outside in the court, and a maid came unto him, saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I know not what you say.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that was there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, 'Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then began Peter to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the word Jesus had said unto him, 'Before the cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly." So Peter was weak in denying the Lord. And then again in John chapter 21, Peter was more concerned about what others were doing instead of what Jesus wanted him to do. When Peter asked about the disciple John, he said, "Lord, what is this man going to do?" And Jesus said to him, "Peter, don't worry about what will happen to John, but just follow me." And then we see that Peter was impulsive. Again, in John chapter 21, where after Jesus had risen from the dead, the disciples all decided to go fishing. And I think Peter initiated it. He said, "Let's just go fishing." When they came back in, the Lord was on the beach, and he was preparing a breakfast for them. When Peter saw Jesus on the beach, he impulsively jumped out of the boat and swam to Jesus. And then Peter was the only one of the disciples who walked on the water. And sometimes we get down on Peter because he fell into the water, but he was the only one that actually had the boldness to even think of walking out to Jesus. The disciples were on the boat. It was at night. It was stormy, and they were afraid, and Jesus wasn't with them. But Jesus came walking on the water toward them, and they thought he was a ghost. So they were frightened. Then when they realized it was Jesus, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you." This was really a lot of faith for him to do that. And the Lord said, "Come on, Peter." So he stepped out and he began to walk on the water. And then Peter looked at the waves and the storm, and he began to sink. Then at the Transfiguration, Peter was the one that said, "Lord, let's make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But a voice came from the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And then it was Peter who impulsively, at the garden when Jesus was being arrested, took out his sword and actually cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. He was going to protect Jesus. He thought he was protecting him, and he cut off the guy's ear. But Jesus miraculously picked up the ear and put it back on and healed him. So Peter was also a unique disciple because he was known as one of the inner three. Peter, James, and John were known as the inner three, that Jesus kind of took alongside a little closer than the other guys. And he allowed them to go with him in the raising of Jairus's daughter from the dead. And they were the only three that were there at the Transfiguration. And also they went deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus when he was praying the night before he was crucified. And then Peter was the first disciple that ran to the tomb after he heard that Jesus had risen from the dead. And at the tomb, the angel told the women, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus goes before you into Galilee, and there you will see him." So the angel actually mentioned Peter's name. And it's probably because the Lord wanted to know that he had forgiven him from denying him. And he knew how heartbroken Peter was over that. And then Peter was the only one who caught the fish with the coin in its mouth. Remember, the Pharisees came and said, "Does your master pay taxes?" And so Jesus said, "Peter, go out and go fishing." So this is, when I studied this, it was really amazing just to think about how this all orchestrated. Because someone had to toss a coin into the lake, first of all, and this certain fish had to catch it in its mouth and not swallow it. It had to stay in the fish's mouth. And then when Peter went, and he went fishing, this fish had to be the first one to catch his hook and not any others. And he also had to catch it with the coin in its mouth. So it's just really pretty interesting. It demonstrated to Peter that he, being an experienced fisherman, that Jesus had dominion over the fish. Peter also had a very tender heart. After Peter denied the Lord three times and the cock crew, and Jesus looked directly at Peter with that tender look, it says that it brought Peter to tears, that he went out and he wept bitterly over his denial of the Lord. And then after preaching to great crowds and seeing thousands saved, literally 3,000 saved the first time that Peter preached, Peter still took time and had compassion on one poor beggar. Now, he probably learned this from Jesus' example, because Jesus took time to speak to the multitudes, and then he took time for one leper, or he took time for the Samaritan woman, and when he died on the cross, he took time to lead the thief on the cross next to him to salvation. So every soul was precious to the Lord, and Jesus searched for the lost sheep. But by ministering to the lame beggar, Peter was then given at that point an opportunity to preach the gospel to another crowd and to lead more than 2,000 more people to Christ. Because he took time for the individual, the Lord gave him an even greater opportunity. Now, Peter not only had a tender heart, but he had a humble heart. Once he had a heart of pride, and now he had one of humility. And he writes in 1 Peter 5:6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And we see that so true in Peter's life, how he failed in so many different areas, denying the Lord, doing this and that, but yet the Lord used it to humble him. And God has to humble us before he can use us, because he doesn't want us to be proud. Now we look at Peter's commission. Having been forgiven and restored, Peter was then commissioned by the Lord. And commission means that he was given a duty, what the Lord wanted him to do. So in John 21, where Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And he responded, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." So Jesus put into Peter's hands his dearest treasure, his flock for which he died. And then again in 1 Peter 5:2, Peter encourages the pastors to feed the flock of God among them. So Peter was the most prominent disciple during Christ's early ministry, and he was a powerful leader in the early church. He gave many inspired sermons and did many mighty wonders. He raised Dorcas from the dead. Remember Dorcas, who was the widow who made all the garments for all the widows in the town? And then in Acts 5, people brought their sick on into the streets, that even the shadow of Peter passing by might heal them. He preached on the day of Pentecost, leading 3,000 to the Lord, and he was used of the Lord to preach the gospel and open the doors of the kingdom to the Jews in Acts 2, to the Samaritans in Acts 8, and then to the Gentiles in Acts 10. You remember the story of Cornelius and how he went to this Gentile man, and Peter first shared the gospel with them. So how did the Lord take this rough fisherman and make him a fisher of men and a solid leader in the church? The same way that he works to change and transform and use our lives. When we're born again, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Lord begins a wonderful process, and he begins to transform our lives into the image of his Son. He makes us a new person in Christ, just as he did Peter. And as Peter, we learn the gifts and the abilities that the Lord has given us as we draw upon him for strength, and we find ourselves being able to do things that we never dreamed were possible because we're relying on the Lord, right? And he's given us the strength to do it. Peter had learned to trust Jesus in all circumstances. Even when he was in prison, the night before he was to be executed, he was chained between two guards, and James, the disciple, had been executed the day before. But what was Peter doing? He was asleep because he knew that Jesus cared for him and that he could rest in that. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. So Peter was able to rest, knowing that he was in the Lord's hand, knowing that the Lord cared for him, and he was able to sleep. And an angel came to deliver him and spring him out of prison. Praise the Lord. So Paul is known as the apostle of faith, John the apostle of love, and Peter the apostle of hope. And Jesus is the reason for our hope, right? And as we study 1 Peter, may our hearts be renewed with hope in Jesus. So let's pray.